Last year I dealt with some of the Bible translations, latest ones, 10 or 12 that came out. Well, I thought I'd seen them all, but I hadn't. Because I bought one a couple weeks ago up in Maine. This one's called the Positive Bible. As you notice, it's very thin. Man spent years and years and years studying the Scripture, find only those things that were positive. So we have the Positive Bible, of course. Genesis chapter 3 is missing because the introduction of sin is not positive. Even John 3 is missing because it talks about perishing. Of course, Revelation chapter 6 or 18 with the vial and seal and trumpet judgments are missing. That's not very positive. And the Old Testament minor prophets, most of them have two or three verses apiece. Okay, from Church History, December 1996, by Peter J. Thusen, T-H-E-U-S-E-N. The consumer frenzy over the Revised New Testament is well known in the annals of publishing, but the Revised Version's significance for American religious history is largely unrecognized. With the publication of the New Bible in 1881, the authority of the Authorized Version was widely questioned for the first time. The language of the King James, deeply internalized by most Americans and tacitly assumed to be the very Word of God, began to lose its unchallenged cultural hegemony. More important, however, were the ecumenical consequences of the newly opened Bible market. As Protestants faced the question, authorized or revised, they found themselves disagreeing over deeper questions. Is the Bible immutable or subject to revision? Are the English words of Scripture trustworthy, or might they have been mistranslated? Is translation a value-free science, or are translators ideologically driven? Ultimately, disputes over these questions help set the tone for the fundamentalist-modernist controversy of the early 20th century. And here's an interesting quote from a strange source. Believe me, I'm not endorsing this man. Peter Kreeft is a Catholic philosopher at Boston College. He is thoroughly ecumenical, papist to the hilt. And I have the proof of it right here. So when I make the following statement, I want you to remember, I'm not endorsing him. Please, I'm not endorsing him. If I had time, I could expose that book called The Ecumenical Jihad. But he wrote something in a Catholic publication just a couple months ago, New Oxford Review, April 2000. This is what he said. Interesting. Well, the world's second largest and fastest growing religion, Islam, never made the mistake Coke made. Its primary product, the Quran, was never changed or supplanted by later revisions. Muslims must learn Arabic in order to read the Quran, as no translation of the original from the Arabic has been officially recognized. As a result, Muslims know and love the Quran far more than Christians know and love the Bible. Until new Bible translations came out, the King James Version shaped Western culture, literature, and education as no book except the Quran has ever shaped the culture. Everyone knew it. It was familiar, it was memorable, and it was memorized because it was so memorizable. Paradoxically, it was the very unfamiliarity of the King James language that made it strikingly familiar. It stood out like a giant in a crowd of dwarfs. We now have 50 times more versions and 50 times less biblical literacy. We have more Bibles that read them less. As translations have multiplied, readership has divided in contrast to the Quran. Interesting. Well, now my subject is the influence of Bruce Metzger on the Bible text. I have no axe to grind today, but there is a reason why I am dealing with this subject. That is, in 1979, I believe it was, I was there. Somehow it passed me by. I sat there for an hour, and it just went straight over my head. They had a Bible conference with Bob Jones, and they dealt with, one afternoon, the manuscript controversy. I have a very poor tape. I have another copy of it somewhere, but this is a very poor tape. Three presentations were made by Dr. Panosian, Dr. Custer, and Dr. Wisdom. in that presentation, Dr. Custer stated in essence that if you want the latest and best and final word on the biblical text, you need to read Bruce Metzger. That's the essence of what he said. He said that sincerely, and I think he said it honestly. Well, in 1982, I have a tape here by Dr. Charles Woodbridge, The Approval of Westcott and Hork, by Dr. Charles Woodbridge, entitled Apostasy at Bob University. This was in 1982. And remember, that's 18 years ago now. So I don't know whether you've read your publication. You hadn't printed that. Probably not. Okay. All right, Bruce Metzger, who is he? Well, he's probably the most, had more impact on Bible translation field in the 20th century than any living man, along with Eugene Knight of the American Bible Society. He's now 86 years old. Born in Middletown, Pennsylvania, he graduated in 1935 from Lebanon Valley College, then went to Princeton Seminary. I'm quoting now from this book, Bible Interpreters of the 20th Century, edited by Walter Elwell and J.D. Weaver. And there is a selection of evangelical voices, quote-unquote, supposedly about 30 great, quote, evangelical voices in the 20th century. One of those great, great, quote, evangelical voices is that of Bruce Metzger, quote, unquote. The chapter on Bruce Metzger is written by James A. Brooks, a professor of New Testament at Bethel Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And so here's an entire chapter dealing with Bruce Metzger. So let me begin to read. At Princeton, Metzger studied under such greats as, and I'm quoting Emil Brunner, the Orthodox theologian. He earned a seminary Ph.D. degree in 1938 and Ph.M. in 1939. He was ordained as a Presbyterian minister. Then, instead of pursuing a Ph.D. degree, he earned an A.M. and a Ph.D. in classics and patristics. And in 1940 and 40, he became a member of the faculty and continued to teach there for 46 years until 1986. His many honors include the presidency of the Society of Biblical Literature in 1971, the presidency of the New Testament Society, quote-unquote, five honorary doctorates, and a number of other honors. He has many interests and abilities, quote, but his greatest, quote, contribution, unquote, contribution has been in the area of New Testament textual criticism. New Testament textual criticism is his specialty. Upon what basis has he made his life study of New Testament textual criticism? Well, he did study, read A.T. Robertson's Introduction to Textual Criticism, and also Volume 2, I'm reading B.F. Westcott and F.J.A. Horst, New Testament in Original Greek. So that is his foundational basis. Now his writings. How influential is he? The Saturday and Sunday lessons from Luke in the Greek Lexicon, 1944. 1945, the Caesarean text of the Gospels, 1955, the annotated bibliography of textual criticism. 1961, the Lucian and Lucianic recension of the Greek Bible. 1961 again, chapters in the history of the New Testament textual criticism. 1963, explicit references to the work of Origen and various regions of New Testament manuscripts. 1979, St. Jerome's explicit references to variant readings and manuscripts of the New Testament. 1964, the text of the New Testament, probably his best known and most most influential work. 1966, one of the five editors of the United Bible Society's Greek text. 1971, a textual commentary to the Greek New Testament. 1977, the early versions of the New Testament. 1981, the manuscripts of the Greek Bible, an introductory paleography. 1981, the Westcott and Hort Greek New Testament, Yesterday and Today. So you can see that he has been very influential. No question about that. In the area of textual criticism. Now, in the area of Bible translation, Metzger's first venture was as a member of the Revised Standard Version Committee. 1964 to 1970, he was chairman of the Committee on Translation of the American Bible Society. 1971, he was appointed chairman of the New Testament section of the Revised Standard Version Committee. 1976, became chairman of the entire committee. 1977 to 1990, he was chairman of the committee which translated the New Revised Standard Version, and also co-author of the making of the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, 1991. With four exceptions in the New Testament, the few exceptions, its New Testament, is a translation, that is the New RSV, the translation of the United Bible Society's Greek text, in which Metzger had a large part in editing. Metzger also edited the Reader's Digest Bible. We heard about that last night from Dr. Cloud. Also, New Testament Introduction, 1965, the New Testament, quote, the book, you wrote, its background, growth, and content. What did he actually believe and write? Well, this is what his friend says, okay? I don't have the book, but I'm going to tell you what his friend says, and I believe his friend is telling the truth about him. In this book, the New Testament, its background, growth, and content, Metzger says that Matthew was more likely the collector of the sayings of Jesus rather than the final author. John may have had some involvement in the gospel, but it is clear others were involved. The dates of the gospel and Acts cannot be established with confidence. This is his friend writing about him. It is difficult to attribute the pastoral epistles in their present form to Paul. Some of the fragments of Pauline correspondence are included as genuine. Some of that, only part of it is. Second Corinthians is probably a composite. The author of Hebrews certainly was not Paul. First Peter may have been written by the apostle, but Second Peter was written by an admirer of Peter. No position is taken on the authorship of the Johannine epistle or Revelation. So you got an idea that he's a liberal and a modernist, very clearly. No question about it. Then he also wrote, he's the editor of a number of other things, Bible commentaries, Breaking the Bible Code, the Book of Revelation, 1993, the annotated Oxford Apocrypha, 19, I forget what the date is, and here's the Oxford Companion to the Bible, of which he is the general editor. Well, I thought I'd look inside to see just what his view about the Bible was, and he said, this companion reflects its diversity. It is consciously pluralistic. In other words, it includes anything under the sun, liberals, conservatives, etc., evangelicals, anything you want to name. And what he's done, one thing is, he's taken the terms B.C. and A.D., they're gone, and it's now B.C.E., before the Common Era, and C.E., after the Common Era. So you know what he thinks about our Lord, don't you? Well, so he wrote a few articles here. One was an article on manuscripts, and he says only toward the end of the 19th century, once much earlier and superior manuscripts became available, could scholars actually produce more accurate editions. Okay? There's an article here on textual criticism that is written by Mr. James Barr, who was of England, notorious liberal, and Mr. Barr points out that the difference now between lower criticism and higher criticism has been abolished. There ain't no difference in English. He said it's the same. Nevertheless, source critical results continue to be used as a normal framework of discussion by the majority of scholars. Well, that's some of the background of Ruth Metzger. Now, it's interesting to note what his friend had to say concerning Dr. Metzger and his philosophy of Bible translation and textual criticism. And I'm quoting for you now. There is nothing unique about Metzger's theory of textual criticism. It is simply a refinement of Westcott and Hort's theory in the New Testament in the original Greek of 1881. Called rational or general eclecticism, this theory is dominant today in part because of Metzger's great influence. It was the theory employed in producing the United Bible Society's Greek text. It is a theory lying behind the Greek text used by most recent versions, the Revised Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the New English Bible, the Revised English Bible, the New American Bible, the New American Standard, the Good News Bible, the New International Version, and the Jerusalem Bible, and the New Jerusalem Bible. That's the influence of Ruth Metzger. Hardly positive when it comes to solidifying the faith of Bible believers, would you say? Therefore, it's very disappointing when you would pick up a tape and hear Dr. Custer say that if you want the latest word, you ought to get a hold of Bruce Metzger. Since he based his concepts upon Westcott and Cork. Well, I did this the previous year, but I have a book here by Mr. Westcott. Okay? Mr. Metzger admits that everything he had, he got from Westcott and Cork, basically. They lay the foundation for all those books and everything he's done in the Bible translation field and all the modern Bible translations. Most of them today can be attributed directly or indirectly to the influence of Bruce Metzger. Well, and Metzger says Westcott and Cork are the ones who determined. So they provide the philosophies for me. So I picked up this book, Some Lessons of the Revised Version by Westcott. And I began to read on page 6. Mr. Westcott, what do you believe about this book? Quote, he will accept without misgiving that the Bible must be interpreted like any other book. Sorry, sir, but we part company right there. I do not, I have a, listen, this is given by verbal clear inspiration. And it's not to be interpreted like any other book. It's different from any other book in human history. There's never been one like it, never will be one like it. So don't tell me I'm going to judge this book the same way I judge any literary composition. But that's what he said, and it's right there in black and white, it's his own words. Well, on page 53, Westcott says, quote, now, supposedly this book says, we just made a few changes in the King James Version, just a few minor changes here and there. There's really no difference as well. If there really aren't, why did you have to do it? Anyway, so I'm going to see, let's see if just what he has to say. And I'm quoting various pages now. The definite article was wrongly introduced and wrongly omitted. A few kinds of examples of each kind of error, which have been corrected. Page 57. Wrongly inserted, wrongly omitted, a serious error. Page 62. Talk about King James text of the Bible now. Two alterations. How readers of the Authorized Version could ever enter into the meaning of the baptismal formula, the charter of our life. And there's a word change from in to into that he's made in the Greek text. And he said that change that we made is the basis of our baptismal formula. That's the incorporation of our life into Christ. And you think about that for a moment. He's talking about baptismal regeneration. Okay, and he's saying the basis of baptismal regeneration can all be traced to change in one little word. In, into. There it is. In his own words. It is through this we come to know the mystery of our incorporation into the body of Christ. Through baptism. Well, page 70. We read, quote, the arbitrariness of the older English version appears to be incapable of any serious or substantial defense. The revisers of 1611 were content to leave the translation as they found it. That is arbitrary, incapable of serious defense. Page 72. Arbitrary discrepancies. Page 74. The offenses of the Authorized Version are most conspicuous in the treatment of single words. Page 87. Wholly unwarranted change of rendering. Page 91, wrongly used. Page 93, misunderstanding has been caused by the use of the Greek form in the King James. And he says, thus far it may be noted no changes have been noted which involves alteration of the received Greek text. That's on page 95, after he's done all these changes. Page 104, greatly obscured in the Authorized Version. Page 113, expression lost in the Authorized Version. Page 120, false rendering. That's King James text, false rendering. Page 133, The vigor of Paul's language is lost in the first clause in the Authorized Version, and in the second clause is a suggestion wholly foreign to the original thought. Page 141. In many cases, words were not only inadequately but wrongly rendered in the Authorized Version. Converse error, page 142. Misrepresent, page 143. Page 162. We're just about there. False suggestion of the Authorized Version, page 171. Obscured in the Authorized Version. Well, that gives you some idea what he thought about the Authorized Version. And that's the man on whom Bruce Metzger says, I base it all. Basically, everything I have, everything I've done, all these books I've written, all the Bible translations we have, is based on that. That, to me, is very sad. Then to read the words of Dr. Custer and say, this is the latest word. The best you can find is Bruce Metzger. Trust him. I don't. So, the bottom line is this. Can an apostate scholar who depended almost wholly upon other unreliable, deceased apostate scholars be considered a trustworthy source by fundamentalists with regard to the Greek texts and modern translations? The writer's obvious answer is resounding no. His fervent plea, don't let anyone, overtly or subtly, undermine your confidence in the King James basis, background, or renderings. You can rely, be trusted, as the truth for version, sanctified unto thy truth, thy word is truth.